Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, I'm Coach Kelly.
So happy to be here. And boy, have I got a story for you. I am so happy to be here.
Tell me, what happened?
First, we do have to tell our listeners that it's you who makes the show. So please call us anytime during the show. 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And we always love your email. So we're going to recap from last week, but I got to tell my story because I'm sitting here and I'm still shivering.
What happened?
So decided to go visit my daughter who moved with her boyfriend up to Grass Valley, which is about an hour north of Sacramento and about an hour about an hour west of Tahoe. So it's a really beautiful area and was lovely. And I thought, you know, all people ever do with their kids when they're grown up is go out to eat, right?
Yeah.
You go to eat dinner. Just do something really different. So a couple years ago, I had gone whitewater river rafting, which was a blast. And because I'm really adventurous, we did the class fours and fives. And if anybody doesn't know anything about river rafting, basically fours and fives are pretty tough.
Yeah.
Sixes are like, you have to be like a super pro to do those.
Okay.
So we found a river that on the South America, the American Fork River or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And they were like threes and three pluses.
Okay, so average to hard.
Yeah, average. Yeah, pretty average. A little bit dicey here and there.
But,
you know, the river wasn't too high. It was like a great day. It was great weather. And my daughter and her boyfriend were totally on board to do this.
Uh-huh.
So it was really, you know, it's going to be like so much fun. So, oh, my goodness. So when I had done the fours and fives before, you know, you have to pay close attention because you know that at any time it's the whole boat the whole raft could tip over. But our boat was very lazy, I have to say.
God.
Everybody was like, because it was just sort of such a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You go for like an hour or two where there's like tiny little rapids before you get to things. So we're all kind of chatting. We were completely out of sync with each other.
Oh, geez.
So we go down this one that was kind of challenging. And, you know, I fell out. You know, no big deal, though. It was like at the end of the rapid. It was quick. The guide wanted to give us an extra rush, so she pushed us up on this rock. Well, pushing us up on the rock made it bounce, I tipped over. But that's okay. I would save my glasses, et cetera.
Oh.
But this was a non-helmet rapid.
Oh,
so
my God.
None of us were wearing helmets. Well, then, about 15 minutes later, we go down a rapid, and I literally get thrown out of the boat. I'm in the middle of the rapid, no helmet, going down, and they tell you feet first. I get slammed in my right thigh with a rock, and all I'm thinking is that I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die.
God.
It's going to be my last day on this planet. At least I'm spending it with my daughter.
I'm
so traumatized that even now, I'm shaking as we're talking about it, because it was so cold. It was just, because it brought back this memory of almost dying in a river, in a kayak flipped over.
Oh,
whitewater kayaking. So, needless to say, we are...
thank God.
I am recovering from that.
How many minutes do you think it was when you tipped over to when you got rescued?
Probably less than a minute. I mean, it was probably a minute of going down, and then
but
I had
still.
To swim to the raft because they were already way far down, and all these other river rafts were coming right by me, you know, and it was like so frightening. But I'm here to tell about it. Yay!
God, you deserve like an award. Forget Mother's Day. You deserve like the champion award. Unbelievable.
Oh my. And you had a nice relaxing Mother's Day.
I did. Yes. It was good. We had a barbecue, but we ended up, I was like, I said to my husband, I'm like, do you even like know how to barbecue? He's like, not really. So we ended up, I swear to God, we ended up ordering like Baja Fresh in. That was like our barbecue. And we still called it a barbecue.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was
very good.
Exactly. We went Mexican style.
Anyway, last week, as we were both here
and
interviewing our wonderful guest, Alex George, who is the author of Maximum Mental Health. And it's funny because he made one statement that really resonated with me when he talked about anxiety and that it makes him feel, he doesn't judge his anxiety because it makes him feel alive and like he's here to tell about it.
Yes.
So that's what I'm trying to do with my anxiety right now.
Smart.
About that.
About the boat. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Sure.
So anyway, we have a wonderful guest today. This is going to be somebody that I actually tried to co-write a book with. We didn't get it sold, which we're not allowed to talk about it because someday we may get it sold. But she's just a wonderful lady. Her name is Jody Gould, and she is the author of High, That's it. Like high.
Yeah.
But like not getting high from drugs, but high as in six principles for guilt-free pleasure and escape. She's an award-winning journalist and the author of 8 books, including Women in Recovery, Beautiful Brain, Beautiful You. She's regularly contributes to Women's Day and Family Circle, and she's appeared on Oprah, ABC World News, and Extra. So without further ado, welcome Jody.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for coming.
The other pleasure principles, talking to you guys.
Oh, that's lovely.
It should be one of your 6. Come on.
It should
be. Right, 6. That's the 7.
Hey, so did you have a nice Mother's Day? I know you have 2 children, yes?
No, I actually just have 1, but it was wonderful. She blindfolded me and drugged me out. I'm from New York City. Uh-huh. So she drugged me out on the street, blindfolded, walked a couple of blocks towards Broadway, which people who know New York City, it's sort of the main drag, and stopped me off at the nail salon and bought me a 15-minute massage. So I thought that was, because I have a teenage daughter, I thought that was a wonderful surprise.
That's so cute.
Even though it was a little scary there for a while. I didn't know that I was going to get hit by a car, but it was a wonderful payoff at the end and a wonderful Mother's Day. So thank you.
I love
you.
That. I like that she sounds creative like you. You know, to think of that
blindfold. Yeah. She's wonderful.
That's sweet. Oh my! All right. So tell us about this book. What inspired you to write High?
Well, I'm a journalist, as you mentioned. I'm not a psychologist like you guys. Not a therapist or a professor. So I tend to write books about things that I'm curious about and questions that I have. It's my job to answer these questions. And I was curious about 2 things. One was, what makes people like me able to enjoy wine with dinner and with friends and not become an alcoholic? Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, I did write a book about women and alcoholism. So I know that it is more common than we would like to believe. And while others don't know when to stop, whether it's alcohol or drugs. And the other question I had was, can we get the same natural feeling of pleasure and euphoria that we get from drugs and alcohol that are safer and healthier for us? And the answer, of course, is yes, which is where I came up with the 6 pleasure principles, which are proven by studies to be longer lasting and healthier and stronger than those that we get from drugs and alcohol.
So you mentioned the 6 principles. Can you go through each one? Give us some tips.
Yes. The first, it's not in order of most important, and there are probably more than 6, but these are 6, let's call this a short list for pleasure principles, and the first one is move. Now, I don't say exercise, because I know there are so many people who are exercise haters, so I said move, which is producing the body's natural chemicals through physical activity. So again, exercise is great. If you like to go to a gym, wonderful, but it's really moving around that's the most important. Second one is restore, and that's revitalizing your mind, body, and spirit. We'll talk about how to do that. Third is connect, which is bonding with family, friends, and community. Very important one for us. Mm-hmm. And the fourth one is create, which is expressing and expanding our inner selves through art, music, writing, dance, any other creative activity that you enjoy. The fifth is celebrate, which is affirming life and experiencing joy, which can be through laughter, celebrating milestones like birthdays and Mother's Day, anniversaries, and playing and going on vacation. So there's many ways that we can celebrate in life. And finally, giving, which is tremendously important pleasure principle, because and that is, of course, being of service to others. Mm-hmm. And it helps improve our self-esteem and our well-being.
Fantastic.
Wow, so those are the 6.
I love that. You know, there's a question.
And all of these are life-affirming pleasure principles, and they're proven to reduce stress, depression, and enhance our feelings of happiness and improve our health and well-being. So that they're all proven through studies to do those things.
Wonderful.
That's what I discovered,
Where did you get your research, just curiously? Was there one source, or did you go to a variety of sources?
Oh, many sources. I mean, there are university studies that are done on all of these things. The myriad studies on, of course, the benefits of exercise. We've all seen them. You know, anytime you open up a newspaper or a magazine or see something on the news, you're always hearing about how movement and exercise prolongs our life, reduces stress, and so forth. The same thing, there's being more and more studies done, scientific studies, research, university studies on the benefits of meditation and reflection and complementary medicine. And then there are, of course, studies done on the benefits of connecting with one another. And on all of these things, studies are done that prove that they can help make us happier and reduce our stress.
Mm-hmm.
And even boost our immunity. Help us to live longer.
Sure. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And in the beginning, you were talking about you wanted to know two questions. The first question you had said was you wanted to know why some people can drink wine at dinner and not become alcoholics. And I'm curious what the answer was to that question.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, that has a lot to do with the brain, which is one chapter that I put in the book, because the brain is so important when it comes to our craving and our desire to get high, which, by the way, I discovered was a universal drive, actually not unlike food and thirst and sex. And it's something that we share with animals, and we'll talk about that a little later, I'm sure, and something that's been going on since the dawn of time. So the need and desire and the craving to get high, which comes from the brain, is something that is universal, again, and has historical precedent. So what happens in the brain, there's what's called a reward center, which lives in a part of our brain, just like our memory lives in a part of our brain. And we have this reward center that releases these feel-good chemicals, such as dopamine. And when we do something pleasurable, and that could be going out with friends, going to see a movie, having dinner, or it could be taking drugs and using alcohol. But both of these things will produce dopamine, mm-hmm. which makes us feel better. And you will see, actually, when you take MRIs, which are photographs of the brain, this dopamine, this feel-good hormone, actually lighting up in parts of our brain. So if we feel stressed or depressed or pain, which of course we all do, everybody goes through pain and has tragedies and terrible experiences in their life, that's a universal, our brain will lead us to find some way, we want to find some way to relieve our discomfort and our pain or to escape. And if someone found that alcohol does the trick, they'll want to repeat this and have another drink, and the same thing with drugs. And when we experience something pleasurable, we want to repeat it. And these memories of getting high are stored in the brain, and the brain for an addict, unfortunately, gets rewired, and eventually they lose the ability to feel good without the use of drugs and alcohol. So that's the difference between an addict and someone who knows how to stop. Mm-hmm. The brain actually gets physically rewired.
Yeah, it's tragic, because I work a lot with families and people in recovery and getting them through the detox and addiction. And I have to always like hold their hand and say, you got to just trust me on this. You got to just, if you stay sober for a year, six mm-hmm. months yeah. to a year, mm-hmm. you'll start to experience the pleasure centers by doing these other things, right. not by getting high.
But exactly.
Boy, they don't believe. They don't believe, because they're in so much pain, and their brains are literally saying, you got to get high. You got to get high, because you need that reward. Because their bodies aren't even producing the dopamine to the levels that they were before.
Oh,
so that's correct.
Really,
so it's a
tough.
Physical craving,
yes.
as much as it is a psychological craving. Yeah, but it is possible to rewire the brain. As we know, people go into rehab and they get 12-step programs, and they're able to do this. And hopefully, some of these pleasure principles will also help mimic some of those great feelings mm-hmm. and the production of dopamine as well.
Absolutely.
And get them on the straight and narrow.
So hold on for one second. If you did just tune in, you are listening to Dr. Deborah and
Coach Kelly.
And we have an amazing guest on our show today, Jody Gould, who is the author of High, that's it, H-I-G-H, Six Principles for Guilt-Free Pleasure and Escape. Do give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Okay, do tell us more, Jody. I'm so excited. Just tell us whatever you feel like is really important for people to learn about.
Well, as I said, this is this universal drive to get high is something that we actually share with other animals, and any cat owner will attest to this. Uh-huh. You give your cat a little catnip and a toy, what have you, and they're going to act pretty loopy. And that has given birth to a major pet toy industry. So cats are one of the animals that enjoy getting high. And the difference is that they have necessarily a drive to get high, but they enjoy it if they're exposed to it. And the same is for dogs, although not as much as cats and catnip. There apparently is this species called cane toad in Australia. You don't have to worry out there in L.A. or here in the United States, because apparently this cane toad is only in Australia, in Queensland, but it emits something from a toxin from its skin, and the dogs lick it and they get high. The problem is that it's dangerous and it can actually be toxic to the poor dog. So you have to worry about that. But something that happens here in the United States, horses, mules, cows have this thing called loco weed, which sounds exactly what it is. It's a type of grass which makes these animals go nutty, and it's created a problem for ranchers in the past. It grows wild in many areas, and they've had to really try to shepherd these animals away from it, because they will go to the loco weed and they'll eat that instead of the more nutritional grass. To their detriment. And even birds, and there's robins, which we all know. Mm-hmm. There's actually trees that grow wild in California that produces a berry that robins especially love, but it acts as a hallucinogen, and they fall off the trees. People have watched them. They've sat there and watched them, and they fly into windows, and they wobble, and they act crazy. And I can't tell you exactly where it is in California, but a professor from UCLA actually did some field work and observed this, the robins going nuts for these berries. Sparrows like hemp seeds, not unlike many people who enjoy pot. And even in some insects, ants, there's this millipede that this beetle that produces again something on their skin of this that makes them high. So it crosses all of not all of the animal species, but many of the animal species have this same desire to be in an altered state of consciousness. Elephants, I think people know about the fermented fruit when they take certain fruits from the trees and it ferments in their trunks. It makes them drunk. Sometimes the mother elephant will unwittingly get their calf drunk by feeding from their mouth this fermented fruit, which makes them drunk. So unfortunately, they pass that along to the other. But elephants, on the other side, are also very social animals, and they have mates, and they have best friends, and they gather in groups and herds, and so they get their pleasures elsewhere. Okay, it's not something that they do exclusively, but it's something that they've been observed doing.
I think one of my cats has read your book, because
he likes catnip.
Well, yes, but I don't really give them that. But he is such a creature of that pleasure principle that you're talking about, where he comes to the couch at almost the same time every night for his massage.
No.
He demands it.
See?
He comes.
Well, petting, of course, and touch, that's a pleasure principle.
Yes, so exactly. Yeah. So he comes over, he literally headbutts you until he gets you to pay attention to him.
No way.
The other cat does different things, but it's hysterical. It's like, hey, Prowler, where are you? It's 9:15. Don't you want your massage? And then he just comes running over, and lie there for 20 or 30 minutes, and you have to do it in the same way. Like, you have to start with the head, down the back, go to the back, the hind legs, then go to the belly. If you do it any other way,
he gets upset.
He does. He smacks you with his paw or with his head. Or then he'll do these little bites.
Very funny.
It's hysterical. So I think he definitely read your book, Jody. I'm glad.
I love it.
Because
there you go.
He would prefer that.
I'm glad your kitty, though, is going for the natural high.
Yes,
I have two cats, and one of them, actually, I have to say, I sometimes take melatonin and valerian to help me sleep, the herbal supplement, and valerian is actually something that cats go nutty for.
Really?
So I don't know if anybody's ever taken a valerian, but which is you know, perfectly healthy thing to do.
Sure.
But if you open up the jar, my cat will go and try to stick his nose in the jar and take the pills out and just roll over and act exactly as if if he were sniffing catnip. So for some reason, valerian is also a substance that cats like. So.
Well, shifting focus a little bit, I know you talk a little bit about the six circles of hello. So I wanted to know a little bit more about that.
Oh, well, that comes with the chapter and the pleasure principle about connecting, which we know is really important. And I just happened to break down the different connections that we have with our friends. And we're very connected today with our devices through Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, Snapchat, what have you. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important that people remember that you got to unplug and you got to meet face to face as well as, you know, online.
Of course.
And to do that, you have to have friends. It can be a group of friends. As young people tend to go and gather in groups, or it could be one or two friends. It depends. As we get older, we tend to have fewer friends, but stronger friends.
Mm-hmm.
So the six circles of hello, which I kind of wrote about, one is acquaintances. That's sort of the first most superficial friend that you would have, and that's someone you know in passing. You meet occasionally, maybe at work or at the gym. They're not a real friend, but they may be promoted to a stronger friendship as time goes by.
Sure.
When you start sharing personal information and spending more time together. And then there's another type of friend, which is a mentor. And these people are very special in our lives and very important people to have in our lives. They're usually older, and they are willing to share their knowledge and expertise with us. And mentors can help us navigate our careers and our personal choices and introduce us to new people. They're not usually our peers, and they're unlikely to become a close friend, but they are nevertheless very important people to have in our lives. The other ones are casual friends, and they're people who we have a personal relationship with and spend a lot of time together and are really bonded with in a casual way. They may go in separate circles. So we have separate circles of friends because it's a casual friendship. And they can drift in and out of your life. They're sometimes close and sometimes not as close, but there's always a chance of reconnecting and moving that friendship to the next level, which would be a good friend. And that's your go-to person who you go to when you have a problem. They offer advice. They take it from you. They're good listeners. They will listen as much as they talk, and there's no monologues. Good friends know a lot about your life and what's going on. And as we get older, as I said, we tend to have more good friends and fewer, you know, crews and groups and posses. And then there are the best friends. And whether you call them BFs or BFFs or besties or bromances, they're about as close as you can get without being related. And they're the people that we've known the longest. Sometimes they're people we've known since childhood, and they know the most about us in our lives. And not everyone has a best friend, and that's okay. Don't feel badly if you don't. And others might just have one best friend and no others. And that's okay, too, because there really is basically no right way to have a relationship as long as it works for you and makes you happy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's a nice way to categorize it in a way that's it's almost like on a continuum.
Right, exactly. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there's no right way to have whatever works for you. It's really just as long as you get out there again and you don't spend all your time in front of the computer, or texting, because it does connect you in one way, but it also you really do have to get out there and meet face to face.
Sure,
it is so lovely. Some of the friends that I made in junior high and high school, even all the way to elementary school. I just had actually dinner with somebody that I know from junior high that we just reconnected. We hadn't seen each other in about 6 years.
Aww.
And we got together and we, you know, had a glass of wine and had some appetizers, and it was like time had never passed. And that's such a heartwarming and beautiful experience when we have those.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about when you haven't seen somebody for a while, and it just feels like you just slipped right back in.
And she remembered things about my family that I didn't even
really?
Couldn't even imagine that I had even disclosed, because we had sort of a closed family system. You know, we weren't supposed to talk about all the rotten things that went on behind closed doors. But she knew so much. It was like, wow, you know, and that she would remember all that.
You must have trusted her.
Yes, I did.
I really
care about her. So she's a great lady. So anyway, that's fun. And it was like you and I, we were apart for, 7 years?
Yes.
And then we saw each other. We talked occasionally, but not that often. It was like No time had passed.
Yes, exactly. Nothing had happened. It's amazing. I think you just have that connection with somebody. It doesn't leave.
And I love that you call me when you're having stress and distress and tell, hey, give me a pick-me-up. Share something with me. I love that. So that's beautiful. You're so
that's the sign of a really good friend.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
that's
I want you know you can always do the return as well.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So that's just wonderful. We've got lots more questions for you, Jody.
Well, should we do a little recap? We are talking with Jody Gould. She is the author of High, H-I-G-H, Six Principles of the Guilt-Free Pleasure and Escape. And if the number, if you want to call, if you have any questions for Jody or questions for us, is 323-203-0815.
Okay. So in your book, you say that giving help wards off illnesses. Can you explain that a little further?
Yes. Giving is one of the most important things that we can do, and it does in fact help us to live longer. And again, I go to California. There was a recent study done by the university in California that was long term, and they studied these elderly people who lived well into their 90s, and they wanted to know what was the secret of their longevity. Mm-hmm. And they discovered that these elderly people who were living in an adult facility played bridge on a regular basis. And then you might say, oh, well, bridge, that's what's keeping their brains strong and healthy. Well, yes, that's true. Bridge is really good for the brain. It's very, very difficult to do. But what they discovered was that it wasn't so much the bridge, but the fact that they got together with their friends on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and they played and they chatted and they gossiped and they had fun. And that was one of the most important ways that people, it helps, as I said, improve the immune system, reduces our blood pressure, and actually does help us live longer, barring any, of course, pre-existing conditions and illnesses.
Sure.
Wow, I love that you do so much research for your book so that you really, when you're saying something, you know that it's well supported. Because I know a lot of people will write things just because they like the way they sound.
Right.
But this isn't necessarily happening here.
Yeah.
It reduces stress. But you asked me about giving. I'm sorry. Did you ask me about giving?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Because that was really about connecting.
That's okay.
Giving is so important because it encourages friendships. And it helps us. Giving, of course, is being of service to others, and that we can do either by giving money, which is one way to do it, but even better is giving of our time. Mm-hmm. And these random acts of kindness with no expectations for rewards really does lead us on a path to joy. And countless religions, of course, teach us that helping others is not only a worthy pursuit but a moral obligation. But we also found that studies show, once again, that this type of happiness that comes from helping others gives us a larger purpose in life. It produces antibodies and other types of more antibodies and other types of pleasure principles, and helps us ward off illnesses. It lowers our heart rate and blood pressure, and it increases endorphins, which we get when we move, and we could talk about that a little bit more, and shields us against stress and depression. It helps us if you join a group. It depends on what you want to do. You could have join a local food bank, become a big sister or brother, or you can meld one of the other pleasure principles by signing up for a charity walk, bike mm-hmm. ride, or run, and that not only connects you with other people, but you're doing something good and you're giving. So,
oh, did we lose Jody?
Jody, did we lose you?
All right, well, we lost Jody.
Okay, we'll call her right back.
Oh,
hello, are you there?
Hello?
Hi,
we lost
can't
you
hear
for
me?
A second.
Yeah, we cut off for a second. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Where did you cut off?
Charities.
Yes.
Oh, I was saying that you can give in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best ways is to join a group, the charity of your choice. You can be a big sister, a big brother, join a local food bank, or you can, as I said, meld another pleasure principle by moving and go on a charity walk, run, or mm-hmm. bike ride. So you're getting those endorphins by moving, but you're also making new friends mm-hmm. and people who you can admire. And especially if you are someone who's in recovery, changing the types of people that you're hanging with, you know, and mm-hmm. being with people who are doing good things for others is a good way to get yourself on the straight and narrow. So if it's pets that you love, the Humane Society, there are so many ways that we can give.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I cut off, but when I said this, but not only does it encourage friendship and help us feel less isolated, which reduces our depression, but it helps our self-esteem, mm-hmm. our self-confidence, it reduces our stress, and it even produces endorphins that shield us against illnesses and makes us feel happy.
So I have a question for the people, the listeners out there who maybe feel overwhelmed by, you know, big acts. Could it even be something as, you know, saying hi to a stranger, complimenting somebody? Can you derive those same benefits from, you know, smaller acts?
Oh, yeah. Somebody was telling me that when you're driving, when you're stuck in traffic, which is something that you guys know a lot about,
yes.
You can do two things. You can either sort of be a jerk and try to push your way in front of somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of bulldoze your way in. Or you can ask if you can be let in.
Sure.
You can ask for permission. You can give that little wave to the other person. And you'll find that by just asking for help to move forward,
uh-huh.
you're doing
yeah.
something good. You're doing something good. You're really, it's a more positive way to live your life. And what I also recommend to others is if you are feeling lonely or depressed, you should tell somebody. I had an experience in my building where a woman who had been recently widowed, her daughter was off to college, and so she was living alone in this empty nest. We were talking in the elevator, and I made her laugh about something, and she said, "You know, Jody, I really like talking to you. I think you're a great person. I'm feeling really lonely. Would you mind having lunch with me sometime and getting together?" And I said, "Of course." Now, if she hadn't told me that she was lonely, I would never know. And you know, helping someone out who's lonely or giving food to an elderly person who doesn't see someone and might be isolated, it's one of the most wonderful things that you can do, and it's guaranteed to make you feel better.
That's so sweet. I always feel so good when I've done something, go out of my way to do
yes.
something nice to someone else, even if it's just opening the door for somebody
sure.
that you see is struggling. Used to drive
oh,
me
yeah.
crazy when I first had Tiffany in the stroller, you know, and
yes.
it's like, I can't believe that out of 100 people that
yep.
were observing this, nobody's going to just get up and help me open the door. And when I see people like that, it's always, whatever I'm doing, if
yes.
I can, I'll just jump up and try to help them.
I was at Starbucks the other day with my two kids. I had a stroller. I think he even had Moose. And I was like,
Moose
at
the is door. Her dog,
it
by
was
the
like
way.
A, yeah, yeah, Moose is my dog. But really my firstborn.
Yes.
But I'm like literally it was like a comedy act. I'm like, you know, trying to push the door open with my butt, then I'm like trying to push it with the stroller. I was like all
yeah.
you know, contorted, and like people are in Starbucks staring at me.
Right.
And I'm like, "Hello, can you get off, you know, your coffee and come help me?" But it is kind of amazing.
Amazing how preoccupied
yeah.
people get with their own stuff and
yes.
they just forget about those really simple things. Jody's talking about, yeah.
Yeah, or they think somebody else will help. Oh, it's okay if I wait a minute, somebody else
right.
will step up.
That's that diffusion of responsibility. That's what that
Completely.
Whole
Kitty
case
Genovese.
Where, yeah, where
yeah.
the woman was being raped and assaulted mm-hmm. and everybody thought that some oh. other neighbor was
going to help out.
Make the phone call. Or the person who's stranded on the side of the road with the flat tire and
yes.
before cell phones, you know, and they
yes.
have to get to the call box and nobody would help. Yeah,
yeah.
stuff happens all
yeah.
the time. So I love what you're talking about, Jody. These things are so important. If you're up for it also, we got an email last week that we did not get mm-hmm. a chance to read on air, which seems really relevant
yes.
to what your all these principles and things that you're doing. Are you up for that if we read it out loud?
Sure, absolutely. Yes,
okay.
absolutely.
Sure.
Okay.
Dear hosts, I'm in a rut in my life. My friends tell me to loosen up and have more fun. I did the whole
mm-hmm.
alcohol and drug thing in my late teens and early 20s, and it didn't get me much other than a few one-night stands, painful hangovers, and regret. I'm now in my
yeah.
30s and still a single woman craving more fun and even a long-term relationship. I don't even know where to start. Please give me some suggestions to help my deadening spirit. Ugh, sometimes I just don't know what the future holds for me. I'm not at all suicidal or anything, but after listening to your show last week, I think I might be kind of a pessimist and would love to become more of a fun person and maybe even optimistic. Wow, can't believe I'm saying that. Anyway, please give me direction. Signed, looking for a boost.
Oh, she is perfect for this
yes,
for this
exactly.
book.
That's
She's got to find her pleasure principles. And what it sounds like this person needs is more celebration in their life, which is one of the big pleasure principles. And one of the ways we could celebrate is by remembering to have fun. Think about when you were a child and how important birthdays were to you or to your kids.
Yes.
As soon as they have a birthday, they start planning their next one. Mm-hmm. And then as we get older, we lose that. We lose the importance of celebrating milestones. So whether it's a birthday or an anniversary or, as we said, Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation, christening, bar mitzvah, whatever it is, remembering to celebrate milestones is one of the great ways to bring pleasure into our lives. And while we're there, usually there's food, there's gifts, there's dancing and singing sometimes, and all those things, again, it's the melding of the pleasure principles, the creative stuff, and the celebration. We have to remember to play more. I think this person could try going on a vacation. Now, I know that that Americans are not taking as much vacation as they should. We are very, not only sleep-deprived, we're a vacation-deprived country. Part of that has to do with the economy, of course. But it's unbelievable when you find out that in Europe they have 30 days of paid leave, and here in the States we have mostly 2 weeks. But the sad, even sadder than that, is that most people don't even take their full two-week vacation.
Right.
There was a survey that was done. They found that on average, people leave 4 unused vacation days. Well,
oh,
I say,
God,
take your vacation.
Yeah.
Really take a time to get away and just being in a, mix it up, being in a different place. And if you think you, or you can't afford to, you know, go to someplace far away and get in a, hop in a plane and go someplace far, it could be the town that's right next to you, or two towns away, or booking a hotel with your partner or loved one, and going to a B&B and just being in a different place, and that will help.
Yeah.
And the other thing that people need to do, especially recovering people, learn to laugh. You got to learn to laugh, because laughter, again, they say laughter is the best medicine. It's cliche. Well, it happens to be true. It brings oxygen into our body, and again, it reduces our stress level and lowers our depression. And there is these groups in India which are really interesting. It started, they have laughing clubs, and what they do is before they go to work, they get together usually in the early morning, and they walk around and then they start to laugh. Now, it's not always a true laugh in the beginning. It'll start off by somebody saying, and it's not about telling jokes, someone will go ho ho ha ha or something, and they feel silly and they'll start to laugh and giggle, and one person will crack up. It'll be like a sneeze. It's contagious.
Yeah.
And one laughter, it becomes spread to another, and by the end of the time that they're together, they're all laughing and giggling, and
so cool.
It actually releases stress. And they find that it's a great way to start their day.
This is hysterical.
So this started in India, but it has traveled here to the States, and it's called Laughing Yoga.
Yes.
And you can find them somewhere in your town.
Cool.
You just look around, Google it, and see if there's a Laughing Yoga club somewhere in your town. My sister took it, actually, and she said that again, it was the kind of thing where they got together. It's not yoga. It's not doing positions and chaturangas, but it's getting together in a group and trying to have the spontaneous or group laugh. And again, it helped reduce the stress. It can be done anytime. And you could also do it. You know, go to a stand-up club. You could see a comedy. You could watch some of these great shows on TV that are hysterical. I just saw Silicon Valley last night. I said it was amazingly funny. And there are a lot of great comedians out there. Go to a stand-up club and just laugh.
Right.
And you'll find you'll physically feel better, and you'll feel emotionally and psychologically better if you laugh.
It's funny that you're mentioning this yoga, the laughing yoga, because my hair person that does my hair was just telling me about this last week. It was amazing.
Oh, really?
I'd never heard of it. She had gone to a class. She says it's the silliest thing she's ever done, and she says it's hysterical.
Yeah.
So I'm going to actually
go with
it.
Me too.
It's like Monday nights, and it's local, and it's
no
free.
Way.
I know. Isn't it amazing? But you have to do, like, you do miming, you mimic each other, you
funny
things. Right.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Oh, she says it's
well, you know,
blast.
You feel ridiculous. I've never done it, but my sister said you feel ridiculous, but that's the whole point.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's that you relax, you just take down some of your barriers, and you let down some of your barriers and relax, and you find that you're bonding, which is one of the principles, and you're just releasing your stress. That's what it's all about, releasing of stress.
One of the things that causes people so much anxiety is we all have this fear of embarrassment and that self-consciousness that happens in groups.
Yes.
And so if everybody's behaving like a
an
monkey,
idiot.
It's
yeah, exactly.
Right? You eventually, once you're laughing and you're into it, you literally forget about that and you become much more happy and comfortable. So that totally makes sense.
And
yes, that's definitely part of it.
First of all, I thought your advice was spot on to our reader, but I totally agree with you. I feel like it is so important to celebrate milestones. I'm a huge birthday person. Like, I love birthdays, and like, I'm the opposite. Like, I celebrate mine like a week before, a week after, like the whole month.
Yeah.
But like, you know, my husband, he's like, no, I don't like birthdays. Like, he doesn't want to make a big deal about it. It's kind of amazing to me, but I think it's true. It's sort of like, oh, we get older. We're not really supposed to like it. You know, it comes with a lot more meaning and aging, and so I think it's really important to have that joy again with celebrating those milestones.
Well, good for you for celebrating. I have a friend who throws herself a birthday party every single year, and she invites her best girlfriend, and she actually ends up giving gifts to her guests. That's the way she does
lovely.
It. And it's a really cool thing to do. But she will not let a year pass without celebrating her birthday. She believes it's important, and why not? And so to your husband, I would say if birthdays are not his thing, maybe something else.
Right.
Maybe it's an anniversary or something else that he wants to celebrate.
Sure.
Or somebody else's birthday, or maybe yours.
Exactly.
But celebrations are important.
I think you ought to just take his then. Say, all right, I'm going to celebrate your
100%
birthday.
I'll do it twice. I'll take my kids, too. I'll take them all. My dogs.
That's funny because my birthday is this Friday, and and my guy's birthday, Christopher, he is May 8th, so he was last Friday. So we give him the week before his birthday up to his birthday, because then there's Mother's Day. So then I have to have Mother's Day. I cannot dilute Mother's Day with his birthday celebration, right? And then we start my birthday week. But I told him, can we prolong my birthday week to next Friday because I'm just too darn exhausted
after that. Well, good for you for celebrating, somebody mentioned something about the fear of embarrassment.
Yes.
That also can play a part when we're creating, which is one of the pleasure principles we haven't discussed. And that's it can be done with anything. People are afraid of it could be music, it could be art, it could be writing, which is what I do, poetry, even keeping a journal. But people are afraid of, or dancing is one of the great things, and that's what I love to do. People are afraid to do it because they're afraid that everyone's going to be watching them and making fun of them. Well, guess what? Nobody's looking at you. Everybody is afraid of what other people are thinking of them. So go dance with abandon. And if you're too embarrassed to dance in public, then do what I do with my teenage daughter. I put on some earwormy pop song and we dance in a privacy of our own living room.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and if it's singing, you don't have to be on The Voice. You don't have to be good at it in order to enjoy it. You could sing in the shower.
Right.
Or you could have a karaoke machine. It's just the act of singing, which is a release and so wonderful for us. And if you happen to be good, how wonderful, learn to play an instrument. Join your community theater group. Choir, chorus, that's another way where you can sing if you happen to be good enough to do that. But again, you don't have to have talent to exercise your creativity.
Yeah.
Just pick something that you love doing and do it. You can visit a museum. If you can't draw a straight line like me, go to a museum and appreciate those who are fabulous artists.
Yeah.
Appreciate others' creativity. That's also good. Go to a poetry slam and watch people, you know, a rap, you know. It's really life affirming and a fantastic experience to either be creating or to watch others during the creative process. It's tremendous. As Oliver Sacks said in his book Musicphilia, music can move us to the heights and depths of emotion, and it's absolutely true for many of the creative pursuits.
I think I have a question that I would really like to ask, because this is probably going to be our last one, and then we'll have to wrap up. But what's curious to me, if you have some advice for people that always use the excuse, I just don't have time.
Yes.
I want all this, but I just don't have time. So how would you, what would you suggest?
Yes. Well, that's true for a lot of people who want to get off the couch and start moving, but they say, you know, I just don't have the time. Well, 20 minutes is really, if you can do 20 minutes a day of whatever it is, that will really help. That will have some positive effect on your on your physical being and your emotional being. Same thing for meditation. I know it's hard. I wrote about it. I wrote Your Brain on Yoga. And it's hard for me as a stressed out New Yorker, busy New Yorker, to take the time to just sit and breathe. But again, 20 minutes is all you need to do. Mm-hmm. If you can do it for 20 minutes, it will have the beneficial effects that you want to get from relaxing and unwinding and de-stressing. You could do things. You could take the stairs instead of taking the elevator. You could park your car farther away from the shopping center and walk further.
Right.
There are ways that we could get our movement in. You know, not everybody, like Bruce Springsteen said, is born to run. You don't have to run a marathon in order to move and get the benefits of those great endorphins, which, by the way, acts as opiates. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Only it's natural. They're natural chemicals versus the unnatural ones.
I think it's two things. I think it's prioritizing that, like, oh, I really need this in my life, and making that shift. And also just making it part. Yeah. And then also making it part of your regular routine. I mean, I started meditating, and, you know, now it's like brushing my teeth. Like, it's almost like, you know, you don't think about brushing your teeth. You just know you have to do it. And it's kind of like with meditating. Yeah.
Hey, I have an idea.
That is a wonderful, wonderful bit of advice. If you can make it a part of your routine,
then
I think that it becomes part of your life.
Absolutely. And I have a good promo for the book now. It's High, 6 Principles for Guilt-Free Pleasure and Escape. And you can make every day of the week using a different principle.
Yes.
And then on your day off, do all 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love it. You're brilliant.
That's so smart.
Love that.
Okay. That's a doable goal.
Yeah.
Right? 20 minutes.
So
oh, that's a great idea. Thank you. Wonderful idea.
Well, you've been an amazing guest.
Yes.
We're so lucky to have you. I hope everybody will pick up a copy of your book. And
thank you so much.
You will keep in touch and let us know how you're doing. And we can have you back on for one of your other books, because you have you have a plethora of material to share with us. Okay.
Well, thank you both. It's wonderful to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. And next week, we have another author who's coming on. His name is Ian Oliver Mausner. Would you pronounce that Mausner or Mausner?
Mausner.
He's the author of Getting Back on Top, which is an Amazon #1 bestseller. And he's the CEO of True Love Publishing and Relationship Counseling. So we're excited to have him on.
That'd be great.
Where do they find you, Kelly, Coach Kelly?
You can find me dealing with my kids. No, at kellymiller.com, KELLIMILL.com. Or you can search on Amazon for Professor Kelly's, with an I at the end, Guide to Finding a Husband. How about
you?
Nice.
You can find me at drdebraonline.com, DrDebra online. I can't even speak today. It must be that
raft.
River rafting.
Exactly. I was going to say, when I said, where can they find you? I was thinking under a raft.
Under a raft.
Unfortunately.
On the South American River. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I'm here. Thank goodness. DrDebraOnline.com. DrDebra Online.com. And check out my blog. I'm having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
And thank you for tuning in to our show. We just love to be here.
Yes. Thank you so much. And you can always feel free to call us at 323-203-0815.
Have a beautiful day.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.